This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
The final international break of the season is over, and we are ready to pick up where Pompey's men left off last time out.
Cassini Yenge for Portsmouth. Yenge, he's done it! Cassini Yenge! What a goal! He goes round his man. The Australian substitute has scored, and Portsmouth lead. There will stay five clear at the top of the table, and that feels like a monumental result.
A 1-0 win away at Peterborough just under a fortnight ago saw the Blues remain top of League One and stay 5 points clear of Derby in second, as well as extend their unbeaten run to 12 games in the process. We head now into the final seven matches of the season, and next up it's Wycombe Wanderers at Adams Park for some Good Friday footy. We'll be bringing you a full preview of that game, including the pre-match thoughts of Sean Raggett, who highlights his eagerness to win promotion with Pompey.
It was always the aim from when I signed on loan. I said I wanted to get promoted here, and I said I never wanted to leave, and so I got promoted. I've been pretty strong in saying that in previous years, and it definitely means a lot to me.
As well as boss John Messino too. He's been giving us an update on the injury situation.
I think we're going to be in a bit of a better position at the weekend, and hopefully that will continue for a long time. We've had quite a few injury setbacks this season, but to be honest, it's always been good because we've always had the squad to back it up.
And there's another huge game for Portsmouth women coming up. Jay Sadler's side travel to MK Dons on Sunday, knowing that a win there with hashtag dropping points in their game against Cardiff would see promotion to the Championship secured. The Gaffer will be speaking to us on the show this evening about the opposition and why, but although they can take learnings from their two victories over them already this season, this weekend's game will still be one they'll have to work extremely hard in to win.
A lot of things can change in such a short time in football, and they're a good team and they play Stadium MK really well. So even though in terms of league standing, they've still got a lot to play for.
It's a double bubble in Buckinghamshire this Easter weekend, and we'll be bringing you a full preview of both of our games for the men and the women. This is Express FM. A very good evening and welcome on this Thursday night to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, welcome along and thank you for joining us here for the show, on which, for over the next hour or so, we'll be presenting a full look ahead to another busy weekend for PFC, with both the men's and the women's sides having away trips to look forward to. Both huge, not necessarily in terms of distance, but most certainly when it comes to the magnitude of those games. Plenty at stake in League One and the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Both John Messino and Jay Sadler's side are heading up to Buckinghamshire this weekend. The men go to Adams Park for a clash with Wycombe, and the women travel to Stadium MK to take on Milton Keynes. We start off this evening with Pompey's men, and we want to be hearing what you've got to say as well. With sides below continuing to drop points, is it pretty much a case of when and not if when it comes to promotion now? Would you like to see Colby Bishop and Cassini Yenge partner in attack at Wycombe, or is the Aussie striker best off starting from the bench, considering he was only in action for the Socceroos on Tuesday? And don't hesitate to let us know your score predictions for tomorrow. Can Pompey make it 13 unbeaten and secure a third straight league win? Get in touch. Download the Express FM app for free on your Apple or Android device. You can send us a voice note as well as a written message on there. Otherwise, you can text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email into Pompey at expressfm.com. Find us on X at ExpressFM or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. It has been just under a fortnight since we last saw the Blues in action, with the international break last weekend putting a brief pause on Pompey's promotion push. So what better way to bring ourselves back up to speed with how John Messino's side are doing than by listening back to the highlights of what happened last time out? Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham called all of the action as Portsmouth travelled to Peterborough United on March the 16th.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
It's a big one, wherever you are tuned in this afternoon.
strap in. It's going to be an exciting afternoon. Is Pack going to hit it? Strikes it. Okay. Oh, and it was fumbled by the goalkeeper, but fumbled well and fumbled to the side. And Burrows' clearance goes off Sadie behind goal kick. And now Burrows could be away, and Shocknessy's got to come across, and Poppy are in real trouble, and Burrows can hit it, and he'll drive it just wide. Oh, it's a glorious crossfield ball to Efron Mason Clark, and now he will run at Swanson into the penalty area. Mason Clark, he's so dangerous, and he's hit the bar, and it's bounced away, and Poppy have dodged the bullet there, 0-0. Clark to deliver free kick to the far post, good delivery, Bishop's header, and it's saved. Pierre Harris hits it, deflected, loose, and forced and blocked, and still there and blocked again from Bishop. Good defending by Peterborough. Just thought that ball's going to find its way through. There's so many bodies in there, it couldn't. The half-time whistle goes. It is Peterborough United 0, Portsmouth 0. What can White do? He needs to play a pass on the left to Yenge. He's one-on-one with the last defender. Cassini Yenge for Portsmouth. Yenge, he's done it! Cassini Yenge! What a goal! He goes round his man. Knight on the floor. He's been beaten. Against two to the dead ball line. What can he make here? He goes round his man. It's great from Yenge, and it's well saved by the goalkeeper. The final whistle has gone. Portsmouth have beaten Peterborough by a goal to nil. They will stay five clear at the top of the table, and that feels like a monumental result.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, it really was a monumental result, wasn't it, for Pompey's men away at Peterborough United just under a fortnight ago. 1-0 victory at the Western Homes Community Stadium, keeping Pompey 5 points clear of Derby County in second place after their win over Bolton Wanderers on the same day. Now, we have had an international break since that game with Peterborough, and Derby County, one of only six teams in action last Saturday, they took on Northampton Town away from home, and they were defeated by a goal to nil. None other than Sam Hoskins, formerly of that lot down the road, scored the winning goal of that game to keep Derby County on 78 points, 5 points behind Pompey, four clear of Bolton, with Pompey and Bolton respectively having played a game less than Derby. Pompey have played 39, Derby have played 40. It's Portsmouth with 83 points on the board and Derby with 78. Bolton in third have 74 points on the board, a game in hand on the Rams. And Peterborough United, Barnsley and Oxford make up the remainder of the playoff positions. As things stand, Oxford United have played a game more than Barnsley and Peterborough and are 8 points behind both of those sides. So at the moment, it looks to be an automatic promotion race between Pompey, Derby, Bolton, Peterborough and Barnsley. And then a big gap between Barnsley and Oxford. And it will be a chase for that final playoff position between Oxford United, Stevenage in seventh on 62 points. Lincoln City on an incredible run of form, unbeaten since New Year's Day, in eighth with 61 points after 39 games, only 2 points behind the top six. And Blackpool down in ninth with 60 points on the board. Let's look at the bottom of the table. Carlisle United without a win in their last five games. They are 15 points adrift of Cambridge United in the final safety position, with, of course, only seven games to play. Fleetwood, Cheltenham and Port Vale join them in the relegation zone. Carlisle United staring relegation to League Two straight in the face. It can't be confirmed this weekend, not mathematically at least anyway. Right, let's bring in our two studio guests for this evening's conversation. And first and foremost, I'm delighted to say, joining us over the phone lines is Mark Coates from the Pompey Audio Description Commentary Service. Mark, a very good evening to yourself.
Very good evening, Jake. Exciting times. Thanks for having me on.
Exciting times, I think, would be a fairly fair way to describe what's going on with Pompey's men at the moment, Mark. Let's just quickly recap on that game 2 weeks ago away at Peterborough United. I think many of us went into it probably thinking a point wouldn't be a bad result, but we were given the cherry on the top with all 3 points and another very, very decent performance too.
Well, I have to say, Jeff Harris, who's a good friend of yours, and it's pretty good with his predictions.
Yeah,
I've been watching him nail every single one, and I was fairly optimistic. And then I looked at that; he had it down as a loss, and I couldn't help thinking, yeah, do you know what? They are a team that we can struggle against. They're wonderful going forward, and I just think that the team performed. But I don't think anyone's going to disagree, and at least of all the players, Mazzino in saying that that 12th man, that the fans were phenomenal. And I'm interested in what anyone listening thinks about Ferguson's comments about how they shouldn't have let that many into the building. But my goodness me, what an atmosphere, what a club, what a performance.
We did have a bit of a laugh about those comments on the Monday sort of review show after that game, Mark. And alongside us two tonight, we have Andy Mitchellmore from the PO Forecast. Andy, very good evening to yourself. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Hiya, Jake. Thanks for the plug straight away. Always appreciate that. Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. No, it's not a problem at all. We're very lucky here at Portsmouth, aren't we? We've got a lot of a big variety of podcasts to be able to keep on top of. PO Forecast, of course, being one of them. 4-0 written all over it, just to name just a few. But yeah, it's great to have you on the show, Andy. That win against Peterborough we were talking about there also kind of goes unnoticed maybe, but Pompey, the first and only team so far this season to restrict Peterborough from scoring on their own turf in the league this season. To keep a clean sheet at the Western Homes Community Stadium is quite some feat, and that's exactly what John Massino's side managed.
Yeah, 100%. I think if you look at that sort of that back spine of the team that we've seen fairly consistently really since Regan Paul did his ACL against Chesterfield, I think that Ragged Shocknessy centre-back pairing has just blossomed in the way that even the most optimistic among us probably didn't see happening quite to that extent. So, yeah, I think you have to give fair credit where it's due. And also, to players having to play slightly out of position. I think we've seen Swanson playing at left-back at one point over the season as well. There's a lot of mismatch going on, and they've all performed admirably. So, yeah, as you say, Ferguson's comments were interesting as well. I'm interested to see if that ends up with Bolton taking heed and us not getting any more tickets for that game, but time will tell on that one.
Yeah, you can't help but feel that maybe that has had a bit of an influence on Bolton Wanderers, only given Pompey 2,600 tickets for the clash at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium in mid-April. Yeah, given the fact they've given us half of the upper tier and half of the lower tier, and unlikely to open the other half of each tier to home fans because of policing, they're going to remain empty, you assume? So why not give Pompey the full stand? Probably because of what we saw at Peterborough. Maybe Darren Ferguson's comments have made a bit of an impact in that as well. Carlisle United took over 4,000, by the way, to Bolton earlier in the season, so we know it can be done. But do you think, Mark, that might be a little bit of mind games from Bolton Wanderers not wanting to give Pompey the full allocation, knowing they've given us the bare minimum, and that's probably legally, in the eyes of the EFL and the FA, that's all we have to do?
Well, it's becoming a little desperate for them, isn't it? I mean, they were hot favourites for second and pursuing us, breathing down our necks until, just a few games ago, when that heavy load of fixtures kind of caught up with them. And in desperate times, does call for desperate measures, and they probably have heeded those words. But the players aren't going to let that get to them. They're enjoying their football at the moment. But, I mean, we've got a couple of big games coming up, which I'm really looking forward to talking about. But, it could all change, couldn't it? It will turn on a sixpence, and I think that they'll end up releasing those tickets late. But we'll see
indeed. Mark, thank you very much. We're going to get more from our two guests again very shortly. We've been speaking about Bolton Wanderers and that game in a couple of weeks' time, but let's now get some thoughts from within the Pompey camp ahead of tomorrow's trip to Adams Park. Sean Raggett has been speaking to George Wedlake ahead of tomorrow's game with Wickham, first highlighting how the international break has been for him as a player who doesn't get called up.
Yeah, it's been nice. I think everyone's worked really hard so this season, so it's, where you can, it's nice to have a few days where you can sort of rest and get a bit of extra recovery in your body. Yeah.
Off the back of that Peterborough game, it feels like a lifetime ago now, but you could see at the end, the players looked like they'd worked hard all afternoon, as they had, so that break kind of helped with recovery, doesn't it, and getting back into form afterwards, I guess.
Yeah, I think especially you go away to Peterborough, they're a fantastic team, so many quality players, and you do have to work incredibly hard in them games to get results. So yeah, I think maybe it was a good time that we got a little break after that game, for sure. Yeah,
and it must have, for confidence and belief, keeping a clean sheet against one of the best attacking sides in the league, that must have been great.
Yeah, we do a lot of work as a defensive unit, as a whole team, and we know they're of course incredibly dangerous with their forward players. So we looked at that, and we had a sort of plan of how we pressed and how we were going to play, and it came off well.
You formed quite the partnership with Conor Shocknessy. From your perspective, how has it been playing alongside him?
Yeah, fantastic. You know, I think I get on really well with Shocks off the pitch as well, which I think always helps. And I think the with anyone, when you play more games, you play together, the partnership grows, you understand where you're going to be, where your other partner's going to be at certain times. And yeah, I think as the more games we've played, it's become better and better.
And there's been certain games where, due to various reasons, you've had to maybe change things up at the back and go to three centre-backs, three at the back. How do you find playing in that system compared to just you and Shocks?
Yeah, no, completely fine. You know, I think I've played in a three before. I'm sure the other players have played in a three, and we've got a lot of quality defenders here at the football club, some which maybe we're a bit unfortunate, haven't played as many games as they probably could have, but that just shows the sort of strength and depth that we've got at this club.
So now we find ourselves 7 games to go, 5 points off top. What are your thoughts on that at the moment?
You know, obviously it's a fantastic position to be in, but it means nothing if you can't go and finish the job off, so that's what we're looking to do now.
You have been in this position before, when I say position, top of League One with Portsmouth. Is there a difference this time around? Because it feels like it's just never been so close, so within reach.
Yeah, I think previous years when I've been here, when we've been top, it's obviously a lot earlier on in the season. You know, when you're top this close to the end of the season, it's sort of there in sight, and you just got to stay focused and take each game as it comes. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but and just try and win every single game that you can, and then hopefully we'll be there.
And what would you say the difference has been this season compared to previous?
I think the squad's obviously very good. I think it's probably the best squad we've had in terms of strength and depth for sure since I've been here, which obviously is a massive help. And then, you know, it's a lot of good lads as well. There's no sort of bad eggs, as people say, in the change room. Everyone gets on well, and that definitely helps. And it's an honest group. It's an honest, hard-working group, which I think you definitely need.
And what would promotion mean to you?
I mean a lot for sure. You know, I've been here. It's my fifth year here. It was always the aim from when I signed on loan. I said I wanted to get promoted here. And I said, I never wanted to leave until I got promoted. I've been pretty strong in saying that in previous years, and you know, so it definitely means a lot to me.
Any thoughts beyond the rest of the season, beyond the end of the season for you yet, or is it just literally focusing on, you know, the games that are left and this season first and foremost?
No, yeah, just focusing on this season. You know, I think rightly, the players in the club, I just focus on getting promoted. All that other stuff can sort of be dealt with at the end of the season and see them, but now that it's just full focus on getting promoted.
But on a personal level, playing for Portsmouth in the Championship, what would that mean to you?
Yeah, of course, it would be fantastic. You know, it's a massive football club, but in this league and in the Championship, it's still a massive football club. So, yeah, it'd be fantastic.
But as you say, still a while to go. Is Wickham up next? What's the approach to that game?
Yeah, you know, I think we know what Wickham are going to be like. They're a good side. They're in very, very good form, to be fair to them. So it's going to be a tough game. Wickham away always is, you know, big, strong, physical side. So we're going to have to be right at it.
George Wedlake there catching up with Sean Raggett of the Blues training ground on Tuesday afternoon. And Andy, Sean Raggett now into his fifth season with Pompey, as he just mentioned there. How would you assess how far he's come and the loyalty he's shown to the club?
Yeah, 100%. I think it would have been very easy for him, you know, at the start of this season, when realistically we were looking at a Shocknessy and Poole centre-back pairing. And even when Towler came in, you know, there was a lot of question marks about whether Towler would be coming in to take Raggett's place in the side. He's always kind of seemed like on the edge of being replaced. Mm. When we're looking towards promotion, you wouldn't ever really feel that he's, you know, had that cemented spot for a promotion chasing team. But he's been put in that position this season where he has been, you know, constant since Poole was injured, and has absolutely stepped up. And, you know exactly what you're getting with him. He's a very different type of centre-back than Regan Poole or like a Matt Clark, sort of taking it out from the back kind of mould. But the one thing that seems to have been cut out for the most part, touch wood, is the individual errors that ended up leading to goals that I think stood out for a lot of people. When he did make a mistake, it tended to get punished with a goal through, you know, it was unfortunate. And that doesn't seem to have happened as much this season, and long may that continue. But yeah, he's been ever present, hasn't he? It's been fantastic to see. And I was one of those people that probably thought that a League One title winning side probably wouldn't involve Sean Raggett starting the majority of the games each season. And I'm genuinely thrilled to have, hopefully in a few weeks' time, be proved wrong on that. I'm really pleased about it.
OK, time for a quick break now. But when we come back, we'll be hearing from the Blues head coach about the challenge that awaits his side tomorrow afternoon.
Wickham are a side that have had a lot of success over the past few seasons, being up in the Championship, and they've strengthened really well in January as well. So some of the issues that they had in the first half of the season, I think they've brought in some very, very good players. They're very well coached. They're difficult to play against, and we expect a tough test. They're certainly one of the sides in the league table at the moment on form.
We'll bring you that pre-match interview with John Massino, as well as more build-up to tomorrow's Good Friday fixture between Wickham and Pompey at Adams Park when the Football Hour returns.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The new Stagecoach Flexi 5, a bus ticket that works when you do, for those who travel often, but not every day. These new flexible bus tickets are available as Flexi 5, bundles of 5-day riders for the price of 4, and Flexi 10, bundles of 10-day riders for the price of 7. Flexi tickets are now available to download via the Stagecoach Bus app. Download Flexi 5 or Flexi 10 from Apple App Store or Google Play today. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, with you every Monday and Friday evening between 6 and 7, with all of the latest from the world of Pompey, including match reviews, guest analysis, exclusive Blues insight and big game previews too. Now, Nate, you may be tuning in now thinking, but Jake, it's Thursday, why are you lying for? Well, good question. We've reached the Easter weekend and most EFL clubs are playing Friday and Monday rather than the usual Saturday, Tuesday, which usually means we have to shift the Football Hour to Thursday and Sunday so that we can provide a preview of both of those Easter fixtures. With that in mind, however, it is worth reminding you that Monday's scheduled clash with Derby County at Fratton Park has been moved to next Tuesday night for an 8 o'clock kickoff thanks to Sky Sports picking the game for TV coverage. So the only change to the Football Hour over this weekend is this show here. We will be returning to our regular Monday and Friday slots as of next week. Let's get back into the on-field matters now then. Wickham Wanderers are the opponents for the Blues at Adams Park tomorrow afternoon, and Kirsty Roxanne is here with a closer look at Matt Bloomfield's side.
The Blues weren't in action last weekend due to the international break, but they're resurrecting for an Easter encounter at Adams Park this Good Friday.
This week's opposition.
A 1-0 win away at Peterborough last time out kept the gap between Pompey and second-place Derby at 5 points. The Rams were defeated by a goal to nil away at Northampton Town last Saturday, so that gap has remained at 5 points, though John Massino's side have now played one game fewer than Derby. Focus now turns to Portsmouth's next league encounter, and it's Wickham who are the opponents in matchday number 40.
Manager.
Former Wickham midfielder Matt Bloomfield is at the helm for the Chairboys. Bloomfield started out his playing career with Ipswich Town, graduating from the club's academy, but failed to make a single first-team appearance. The now 40-year-old made his senior debut in football in 2003 after joining Wickham on a free transfer that summer. He spent 19 years with the Chairboys, playing with the club in League 2, League 1 and Championship. Bloomfield made 488 appearances and scored 40 goals across his 19 years at the club. He started his managerial career at League 2 outfit Colchester United in September 2022. At the time of his appointment, Colchester was sat in 21st position, 1 point clear of the relegation zone. Following the departure of long-term manager Gareth Ainsworth to Queen's Park Rangers, Bloomfield returned to Wickham, but as a manager in February 2023. Since taking over Adams Park, Bloomfield has overseen 17 wins from 53 league games.
One to watch.
Our one to watch on this occasion is local Portsmouth boy Matt Butcher. Butcher joined AFC Bournemouth at the age of 13 and surged through the under-18 and under-21 sides before being offered a one-year professional contract. He made his first start for the Cherries in a 2-1 FA Cup victory over Birmingham City. Butcher went on loan to Gosport Borough, Paul Town, Woking, Yeovil Town and St Johnstone before signing a 2-year deal with League One side Accrington Stanley. After 85 appearances and 6 goals across 2 seasons, he left Aki upon expiration of his contract. In June 2022, Butcher joined Plymouth Argyle on a 2-year deal and was part of the squad that became runners-up in the EFL Trophy and also helped the Pilgrims lift the League One Trophy as champions at the end of last season. At the end of the most recent January transfer window, Butcher signed for Wickham Wanderers and has since scored 3 goals from 11 appearances. The midfielder wears the number 8 shirt.
top scorer.
The current top goal scorer for the Chairboys is 31-year-old Luke Leahy. Leahy began his career with Rugby Town. He then signed for Falkirk in the summer of 2012 following unsuccessful trials with Birmingham, Bradford and Peterborough. Leahy was signed as an attacking midfielder despite the fact he played left back for rugby. Leahy also went on to play for Walsall, Bristol Rovers and Shrewsbury before joining Wickham on a three-year contract in July of last year. He scored his first league goal for the club at the end of September in a 2-0 win over Carlisle United. Leahy, who wears a number 10 shirt, has scored 8 goals and made 7 assists so far this campaign, equaling to a goal every 378 minutes.
Current form.
Matt Bloomfield's side currently sit 13th in the League One table on 50 points. The Chairboys have been on a run of good form recently, winning 4 of their last 5 matches and their last 3 in a row. Their only defeat within that period was a 4-2 loss against Barnsley. Wickham also recently secured a place at Wembley thanks to a dramatic 91st-minute strike from Matt Butcher, which helped claim a 1-0 EFL Trophy semi-final victory at Bradford City. They will take on fellow League One side Peterborough in the final on the 7th of April. In the reverse of this fixture at PO4 back in October, the Blues came out on top with a 2-1 victory thanks to Connor Shocknessy's header in the 98th minute. Can Pompey take another big step closer to automatic promotion to the Championship with a third straight victory when they take on Wickham Wanderers? All of the missed action on Pompey Live.
Yeah, closer look with Kirsty Roxanne there at the Chairboys of Wickham Wanderers, Pompey's opponents, this Good Friday. Tomorrow afternoon, of course, at Adams Park. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. We'll have all of the coverage here on Pompey Live from 2 o'clock. Mark Coates and Andy Mitchell-Moore alongside us this evening to preview that game. And Mark, looking ahead to Wickham, they're a side with 5 wins from their last 6 league matches, or matches in all competitions, I should say, 3 league matches in a row in which they have secured victory. This isn't going to be an easy test, is it, Mark? However, Pompey did go to Peterborough a fortnight ago, a side who themselves had won 6 on the bounce prior to that.
Yeah, and a better side, I'd say, over the course of the season, for sure. I mean, they're a funny side, Wickham. They've had a funny season. It's been up and down. There's no real star players, I don't think. I mean, you've got a couple of young lads from West Ham who are trying to make their way in the professional game, but they're sort of inconsistent, having big impact on games. I suppose Luke Leahy is the real standout performer this year at left back, and I think their top scorer as well. but no one really of note. I mean, the most mature kind of experienced game-changing players at Vokes and is it McCleary as well? But yeah. I mean, they've got a combined age of about 80, haven't they? And you know, they've been around the block a few times. I don't think they're going to rely on them. But as you say, you know, potential banana skin, but certainly a team that Pompey should turn over if they're on their mettle.
And a team, Andy, through to the final of the EFL Trophy, the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, as it's now known for sponsorship purposes. They will play Peterborough, Pompey's previous opponents, of course, in the final on the 7th of April, so not too far away for that game. Andy, do you think one eye will be held on that match, looking ahead to that big showpiece final at Wembley for Wickham, or are you confident that heading into tomorrow's game with Pompey, they'll be fully focused and up for the task to try and get something from the league leaders?
Yeah, I think it can go one of two ways, can't it? You can either have half an eye in the back of your head on that final upcoming, but I think it can also be, you know, there's players playing for their place in that final. Like, everyone in that squad is going to want to be in the starting 11, aren't they? Let's face it, for any competition to play at Wembley, it's an incredible feat for a player, and it might be for some of them one of the only times they have that opportunity. So you're looking to get in the manager's eye, and to be honest with you, with where they are in the table, you know, realistically, they're the definition now of a mid-table team this season. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much slap-bang in the middle of the table. I think they're 13th, right? Level on points with 12th. They're not going to go down by any stretch. They need a bit of a turnaround. I think if they beat us, they'll be 7 or 10 points off the playoffs with 7 games to go, which isn't out beyond the realms, but it's super unlikely. So I think this is really the only thing that is potentially driving them on at this point, other than a professional responsibility. So I'd kind of rather they didn't have it coming up before with our game with them in mind. Mm. But yeah, I don't think it's going to change the way that they play. I think you have to give credit to them being a third tier professional football side. It just could be that extra sort of 5% of wanting to get noticed by the manager, to be honest.
Yeah. Would you agree with that, Mark? Do you think that them having a final to look forward to is probably actually not a beneficial thing for Pompey?
I think it is in the balance, just as Andy said. Actually, it's 50-50. They could have their eyes on that game, or they could be thinking, as they have when big teams have come, let's just go for it with that extra sort of added bonus of if I play really well, I might get selected in that final. And as well as that, they're going to have hanging heavy, I'd have thought, because teams remember what happened earlier in the season. They're going to have it hanging heavy over their heads, that nightmare 98th minute goal by Shaughnessy when we just nicked it under the lights on that Tuesday in October at Fratton Park. And they'll want some revenge for that. There's plenty of motivation, the more I think about it, for them to turn up and play well. And of course, they've had big scoring games against Barnsley and Peterborough. Mm. I think I've had, seven goals in each of those games? And they scored five, didn't they, against Peterborough, a couple against Barnsley. They're not shy when the big teams turn up, but it could go either way. But certainly, yeah, if Pompey aren't on their mettle, it is a banana skin.
Yeah, Pompey will have to be at it from minute one to 90, we'll have to be for every game now between now and the end of the season, Andy, but going into tomorrow's clash with Wickham at Adams Park. We know the kind of tests that they can bring. They're not quite the same Wickham as they were under Gareth Ainsworth, but for so long we've been in this kind of seat. We're looking at these teams, we're previewing these matches against, whether it's Forest Green Rovers, you know, Carlisle, Wickham, Peterborough, Sunderland, Hull. We always sit here and say, yeah, we've got to respect the opposition. No game's easy in this division, and we throw out all of these cliches. But at some point, do you get to that kind of stage, Andy, where you think, do you know what? No, Wickham are 13th, Pompey top of the league. We have to go into this game knowing that a win is the only thing that we have to come out the other end of.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was on the pod last week. I think it was Hugh said that, you know, the other teams in the top eight, we haven't actually lost to them yet this season, which is an incredible statistic. So we are performing well against the teams around us in the table. And you look at the bottom of the table with teams that you might traditionally expect us to be comfortable against based off that. And we've, you know, dropped points against Fleetwood. We've dropped points against Cheltenham, who are in 22nd and 23rd. And we drew at Cambridge, who are in 20th. So, you know, you never take anything as a gimme. But having said that, the team's track record this season, you know, losing, 10% of the games, 4 out of 39, you'd have to say that we've played against a few teams in that run that have been in really good form. You mentioned earlier the run against that Peterborough were on before we played them. You know, they are teams that this Pompey side would expect to now beat. And that, I think, you can expect to beat a team without taking them for granted. You know, you can acknowledge that if you play at your best, you will win the game. And I think this is one of those that if Pompey play at their best, they will win the game. Mm. But if they don't play anything but their best, then Wickham are very capable, because they've got players, you know, like Vokes, like McCleary, who can and like Leahy especially, as Mark mentioned, who can punish you. And you get that with any team in this division.
Yeah.
All the way down to Carlisle, they've got players who are good enough to punish you if you're not at 100%. But if they play to their potential, they should win the game, absolutely.
Most definitely. If Pompey are not at their A game at Adams Park tomorrow, they could become unstuck by a very difficult Wickham Wanderers side. Of course, they go into this one off the back of 12 games unbeaten and a 1-0 win away at Peterborough United almost a fortnight ago. Now, the Blues haven't been in action since that win at Peterborough. George Wedlake has been at the training ground this week to find out from John Massinio what's been happening since that victory at London Road.
The boys had a bit of time off straight after the Peterborough game. It came at a really good time, I think, with the injuries and illnesses that we've had, and then just two really solid blocks of training the back end of last week. The lads were in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, really, you know, good solid training block, and then just back in for a normal week this week. And I think, yeah, the game's come around pretty slowly. I think everybody's been itching for a bit of football, so yeah, we're really glad it's here.
So in terms of like the players that are out injured, it's probably quite a good time, because it gives them time to sort of relax, recuperate and get back to full fitness. But as like head coach of a team who are 5 points off top, 7 games to go in such good run of form, is it bad timing from that perspective?
No, we always felt, even at the time, that it would probably come at a good time. And international breaks this year, we've already had 3 of them. They've given us a chance to approach things slightly differently. The most important thing, I think, is to give the boys a bit of rest. So if you look at last week in terms of the travel, it was Blackpool away, Burton at home, Peterborough away. That was, you know, pretty significant in terms of getting to those places. And also the output that we had from the lads across those 3 games, it was just, I think, came at a good time. I think in terms of momentum, I think we'll be able to carry that on. I don't think the extra week's going to make any difference. We're still coming off the back of a really good performance against Peterborough. So we were pretty conscious going into the game that we thought it would come at a good time.
Cassini Yenge scored in midweek for Australia. Have you been keeping a close eye on him?
Yeah, we watched both of the games, so both games against Lebanon, and I thought he performed really well in both of them. He got his goal this morning. Yeah, I think it was on at 8:45, so we had it on in the office, and really, really pleased for him with his first goal for Australia. And I think just a massive sort of step in the right direction for Cassini, coming from where he was. I think he'd been involved in the 23s, Australia under 23s, before he signed for us. He got his first international call-up, he obviously got his first cap, and now he's starting for them on a regular basis, which we hope will continue sort of long into the summer. But that's a real step in the right direction, I think, for Cass.
It's obviously a bit of a journey. Is he going to be available for Friday?
Yeah, I mean, both games, Cass came off around the 60-minute mark, and so shouldn't be any problem in terms of fitness and freshness, because he's such a fit young lad anyway. And yeah, we've got no worries about that. He'll be travelling back, and he'll be back with us on Thursday. So yeah, back in time for and available for selection on Friday.
And Paddy Lane as well, another one of the call-ups. Have you been monitoring his progress and games for Northern Ireland?
Yeah, so Paddy started in the game away at Romania. Really good, I think, performance from Northern Ireland. Obviously got the point. Paddy came off again around the 60-minute mark, and it was good for the, you know, another good sign in terms of where Paddy's progressed this season, starting for the national team. And then, yeah, Paddy will be back with us. Slightly less of a journey than Cassini, but yeah, Paddy will be back with us on Thursday as well.
A bit of good news during the break. Derby suffering a 1-0 defeat to Northampton. So how closely were you watching that one?
I was at the game. It was one of those, because we've got Derby coming up, it was really useful for us to go along and actually have a rare sighting of an opposition team that wasn't on the computer. So that was the purpose of that. So yeah, going to the game and just seeing Derby play away from home was very useful from a tactical standpoint.
When teams like Derby and Bolton had games in hand over Portsmouth, everybody was asking you, you know, what's more important, points in the bag, games in hand? It was always points in the bag, but now you've kind of got both. You have a game in hand over the chasing pack, 5 points clear. How's that feeling for you?
Yeah, just from our point of view, we're really focused on, first of all, the game at the weekend, and that's the only way that we've tried to be all season, making sure that we're focused on the next game. And whatever happens in the table around us, we obviously look at it, but there's nothing we can do in terms of controlling that. So, yeah, we're just trying to keep level-headed, really, and making sure that we just approach these next seven games as we have approached every other game during the season. We will do our prep, we'll make sure that we go into them and try and win the games. And, you know, I think hopefully the best outcome off the back of that we'll produce.
That mentality of staying level-headed, that's something you've instilled, you know, from top to bottom throughout the entire season. Now it's kind of getting to crunch time. Is that more important than ever, would you say?
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I think, first of all, with the fact that there are only seven games left, and I'm sure there's plenty of talk, I suppose, internally and externally about what the, you know, possibilities of what the club can achieve this season. I think sometimes it's good to, I suppose, use that, I suppose, as fuel to make sure that everybody is fully motivated. And then, yeah, the other side of the coin is to make sure you don't get too carried away with ourselves. We've got a big game on Friday against really good opposition. We've got to make sure we're properly at it to go away to Adams Park and get a result. And so it's just finding the right balance between the two of those and make sure that we do approach games in the right manner.
Before the break, there was quite a long list of injuries. Firstly, players like Callum Lang and Connor Ogilvie, who were close to a return. It was only, you know, a number of weeks. Where are they at the moment?
So both progressing nicely. Connor's been in and out of the training group this week. We think that Connor will likely see him against Shrewsbury for the first time. We haven't really managed to get a full block of training into him yet. And again, we've been really cautious with Connor's sort of injury record this season. Callum Lang probably slightly behind that, but again, maybe looking at getting him back for the Shrewsbury game, if not then the Bolton game. But yeah, certainly two players that are progressing well.
Also, it was Joe Rafferty and Paddy Lane near enough on the day of the Peterborough game. It was due to illness. Are they okay now?
Yeah, Paddy's obviously played and started a game for Northern Ireland since then, and Joe's been fine. He's trained all week.
The longer-term injuries, Tino Angerin and Ben Stevenson, where are they at currently?
So Ben's been training fully. Ben's back available for selection at the weekend, and Tino has done exactly the same. Tino's had, obviously, a bit more of a major muscular injury, or a different muscular injury, so we're just managing him slightly differently. And we've had Ben in the building for a lot longer, but we've only had Tino for the last week, so we're just making sure we manage him, but both available for selection at the weekend.
And Lee Evans was getting close to playing in a Portsmouth shirt. I guess that, you know, he's now closer than ever.
Yeah, it's been really good to get another solid 2 weeks worth of training into Lee. He obviously was on the bench, I think, against Burton and against Peterborough, available to come on in both of them, but I think it was nice that we didn't necessarily have to call upon him, having been out for so long, and we've given him another couple of weeks worth of training to really, I think, get up to the speed of play, and he's been excellent, Lee, so really pushing for I think a place in the starting lineup, and gives us a really good other option.
Any new injuries to report? Anything from the training ground during that break?
No, nothing from the training ground. We've obviously managed to keep things relatively controlled. It doesn't mean you're able to stop injuries from occurring, but we are going into the game not having sustained any more injuries since the Peterborough game.
So injury-wise then, you're in probably one of the best positions you've been in for a while.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be a case of looking at where the squad's at the weekend, and we're probably going to have to be in a position where we're leaving a couple of pros out of the match day squad, which again, we haven't really been in that position for, you know, the last sort of 6 or 8 weeks. We've left, I guess, one out here and there and had 19-man squads, but I think we're going to be in a bit of a better position at the weekend, and hopefully that will continue for a long time. We've had quite a few injury setbacks this season, but yeah, to be honest, it's always been good because we've always had the squad to back it up, and Peterborough's been a perfect example of that, where we picked up a couple of illnesses in the morning and two fullbacks came in and did exceedingly well. So it's one of those things that we've just got to get on with, but hopefully the more bodies we've got back, the better.
And another one's just popped into my mind, Christian Sadie. He went off against Peterborough. How is he?
Christian's okay. It's not as bad as it probably looked at first in terms of it being a hamstring tear, but Christian won't be available for the weekend quite yet. He's not been training with us. He's been out on the grass with the physiotherapy team, and we're looking again, hopefully, to have Christian back for the Shrewsbury game.
Wickham away is always a tough test historically. What are you expecting from that game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a difficult place to go and play football, and Wickham are a side that have had a lot of success over the past few seasons, being up in the Championship, and they've strengthened really well in January as well. So some of the issues that they had in the first half of the season, I think they've brought in some very, very good players. They're very well coached. They're difficult to play against, and we expect a tough test. They're certainly one of the sides in the league table at the moment on form, and yeah, we expect them to give us a good afternoon of football at Adams Park.
John Messina there speaking with George Wedlake at the Blues training ground earlier in the week. Andy Mitchmore alongside us with Mark Coates also joining us over the phone lines this evening. Andy, on to Cassini-Yenge then. He's back and available for selection for tomorrow's trip to Adams Park, of course being on international duty with Australia, featuring twice against Lebanon in their two World Cup qualifying games. He actually scored on Tuesday against Lebanon in that second match in a 5-0 victory in Canberra, his first goal on the international scene, and that is quite some incredible moment for somebody who has had a remarkable breakthrough season in English football.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what was it last time we picked him up from? Was it Western Sydney Wanderers, I think it was. And yeah, so good to see him get that first international goal. I think you have to say he's 100% deserved the call-up, 100% deserved that international goal and the feeling that would have given him. And it's so nice to have a bit of a successful foray into the unknown there in that number nine role where, you know, there have been, I'm not going to slag off individual players on any sort of media, but there have been players who have come in and had a bit of hype around them in the last few seasons, and it hasn't clicked at Pompey for whatever reason, whether it's been mentality or whether it's just been performance-based. And it's so nice to see the opposite happen with Cassini-Yenge, because he obviously seems like a thoroughly nice bloke. So you kind of want him to succeed. Kind of similar as Kamara and Sadie, you know, they come in and just seem like good human beings who you actually enjoy seeing succeed. So yeah, a massive tick for him. I'm glad to see him back so quickly on this side of the globe.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised to see him start, but you know, jet lag isn't as bad coming back this way as it is going out to us. So I'm hoping, he's not feeling too awful.
That's all right then. Andy, thank you very much for the time being. We'll get more from our two studio guests to come very, very soon. But it is now time for a very quick breather. We'll be returning our attention to Pompey's women when we come back, and we'll hear from their boss about the prospect of promotion being secured this weekend and trying to resist looking at the score between Hashtag United and Cardiff City, a game that kicks off 2.5 hours before their match at Stadium MK.
It'll be hard not to look at it, because I think while we're travelling up, that game will be on. Everyone's got access to mobile phones and they all know what the scorelines are. However, we're a professional outfit, and as soon as we arrive at Stadium MK, regardless of whether that game's over or it's not, our full focus will be on the game in hand.
The thoughts of Jay Sadler to come here after the break, so be sure to join us in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of the Football Hour.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening and welcome along for one final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, local radio in Portsmouth. We're just coming up to 10 to 7, but there's still time for you to get involved from back home too. On the Express FM app, you can just not send us a written message, but you can also send us a voice note if you fancy it. You can send us a text, 81400 is our number. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Otherwise, you can include at Express FM within your posts on X or comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pompey Live. Well, it is not just Pompey's men in action this weekend. The women's side are also travelling to Buckinghamshire for a league fixture. However, Milton Keynes is the destination for Jay Sadler and his team. Promotion could be wrapped up at Stadium MK on Sunday if Hashtag United fail to beat Cardiff in their kickoff at 3 o'clock and the Blues secure a win in their 5:30 kickoff with MK. They go into this fixture off the back of a 4-0 victory over Rugby Borough last Sunday. Ava Rowbottom, Lita Rutherford on the score sheet in the first half before strikes from Ella Humphrey and Daisy McLaughlin in the second. That game was held at Fratton Park and I've been catching up with head coach Jay Sadler in the build-up to their match with MK Dons. First asking how it felt to be back in the dugout at PO4 last weekend.
Yeah, no, it felt really nice personally to be back at Fratton Park. We've had a few opportunities this season. We've decided to use those at Wesley Park. Having that continuity of a ground's always nice and we've got some fantastic home form there. However, it is always nice to turn out of Fratton Park. It's a great platform for the players to play and ultimately we enjoyed ourselves on Sunday.
And you mentioned post-game here on Express FM, but it wasn't your side's best performance of the season, yet you still came away with 4 goals and a clean sheet. What kind of story does that tell about how the game unfolded?
I think we were just ruthless in both boxes. Lee Birch, the opposition manager, made a good point post-game and we were ruthless. We had probably 5, maybe 6 opportunities in the game and we've taken 4 of them, I think. Between both boxes, Rugby had probably more possession than we would have liked. And they were quite threatening with it. Hannah Horton's been called into a couple of real good saves. So we know that there's elements that we need to be better at and we need to improve. But we've also got to take into account we were at Fratton Park and the expectation, given our recent form, has increased. And therefore, that pressure can easily infringe decision-making and details. But as soon as we got a foothold in the game, I think second half, probably from about the 55th, 60th minute onwards, we're able to then assert our dominance and show what we're really about. And having reflected on the game, I think we know where we need to be better. And that's ultimately going to be our aim from now to the end of the season.
How great was it to see Lita Rutherford and Ella Humphrey on the score sheet, both Pompey fans and both scoring at Fratton Park?
It's lovely. It's great. Great memories for both of them, as you alluded to there. We've got a few Pompey fans within the team, and it's always nice because they know exactly what it means to represent this football club, especially at Fratton Park. And for Lita to score her 50th goal as well for the football club over a number of stints is brilliant for her. And the fact it's come from a set play, well worked on the training ground with Lee, is even more pleasing. And then you mentioned Ella Humphrey, I think. She's had to bide her time this season. There's been some real quality players that she's been competing with. And probably in the last couple of weeks, we've really seen the best of her. Had a good starting game against Ipswich a few weeks back. And then she's taken that confidence and she's taken that quality into this game. And her first touch was exquisite. The finish in front of the Fratton end, I think, as a Pompey fan, there's not much more that you can ask for.
On to the next one then. MK Dons away this weekend, a side you've faced twice already this season, once in the league, once in your run to the National League Cup semi-final. Victories on both occasions with an aggregate scoreline of 4-0. Do those results put you in good stead for Sunday's third meeting with MK this season, having already learned a lot about the side?
Yeah, they'll obviously help because we know that we've had the better of them early on in the season. However, as you know, a lot of things can change in such a short time in football. And they're a good team and they play Stadium MK really well. They're back there for it's their final game of the season as well. So they've, even though in terms of league standing, they've still got a lot to play for. Charlie's got a good side down there, a young side that like to play intricate football and that will want to dominate the ball. And that's one of our kind of performance problems from the weekend was not getting hold of the ball and looking after it and controlling it in larger spells. And it's something that we're working on this week. So, yeah, it's going to be another interesting challenge, as they always are. We've got so many different teams in our league that play different style, strategies, systems, and it's always going to be a new challenge that we face. However, this group have really raised their standards when coming up against different opportunities. Again, a later kickoff as well. So something new for the group to ponder with. But we're excited going into these last four games of the season now.
And it's a 5:30 kickoff at Stadium MK on Sunday. Hashtag United elsewhere host Cardiff City in a 3 o'clock kickoff. Will one eye be kept on that result, or is the intention to try and block that one out until after the final whistle in your game?
Yeah, it'll be hard not to look at it, because I think while we're travelling up, that game will be on. Everyone's got access to mobile phones and they all know what the scorelines are. However, we're a professional outfit, and as soon as we arrive at Stadium MK, regardless of whether that game's over or it's not, our full focus will be on the game in hand. And regardless of what happens at hashtag, we need to win this game of football against MK Dons. We want to, and we're going to do everything we possibly can. And we essentially know what we need to do in order to get a good result against MK Dons. And if things fall in our way, then brilliant. If they don't, we'll then focus on the next game as it comes.
And just finally, any fresh injury concerns this weekend?
No injury concerns, which is good. We've had reports back from Annie Rolfe, which unfortunately probably rule her out for the rest of the season with a hamstring injury. We're hoping to get her back before the last game of the season. Jazz is undergoing her operation next week on her ACL. So it's been a real quick turnaround. Fantastic support from the football club. And one addition that will be joining the football club before the weekend that we've been working hard on over the last week to get it done. So we're really happy that we've managed to bring in an extra player just to bolster the squad and to give us more variety and options and more depth going into these final four games of the season.
Very interesting little teaser from Jay Sadler there, speaking about an addition to the squad to be announced hopefully before this weekend. Do keep an eye on our social platforms at ExpressFM on X and on Facebook and at Pompey Women to find out who Jay Sadler could be talking about there. Right, on to Pompey's statement of accounts. We're coming up to the end of the financial year, and each football club across the country have had to produce their accounts to the EFL and reveal to the public how they are doing on a financial scale. Kieran Maguire, financial expert in football, has published a couple of figures that stood out from Pompey's reports. Revenue is up to £12.5 million for the year 22-23. That's up 5% from the previous year. Wages have also increased by 5%. There is an underlying loss of £3.8 million. Again, that's between 2022 and 23 because we are 12 months behind. And player purchases, £1.5 million. There is an underlying loss, as I mentioned, £3.8 million. However, the club remains debt-free because there's no loan into that underlying loss. It is money that's been invested into the club on the playing field and behind the scenes, the infrastructure at Fratton Park, but nobody is expecting that money back. So the investment is there from the Tonante company. I've been speaking once again to Treasurer of the Pompey Supporters Trust, Simon Colebrook, and he's been revealing his standouts from the report.
There's a few things that stand out from the accounts this year. Two main ones really are the ongoing investment in Fratton Park. I think when we see the size of the investment, £5.3 million being put into the development works, you know, that's a real sign of the costs that have been incurred and the investment made overall in the improvements that we've seen to Fratton Park. On top of that, you had the £1.4 million that was invested into the renovations and the improvements at the training ground. And we know that the current facilities where the training staff and the players are using the porter cabins, they're all going to be moving into the main building very shortly. So, you know, there's been a hefty investment there. But also the player investment, £1.5 million on new players. We haven't seen that sort of number since before COVID, when the money from Jamal Lowe and Matt Clark was spent. But really, this is an investment made without any big player sales to fund it. So that's been a real sign of intent, I think, an investment there. So they're the things that really stand out for me.
Do the numbers reflect that although a loss has been reported, the fact that the club remains debt-free, that the ownership are willing to put money into the business without expecting it to be returned?
I think the thing to bear in mind is that although there is an overall loss of £3 million, which is a very large amount of money, a large chunk of that is relating to depreciation and write-downs on the value of the assets, on player amortisation, and the annual depreciation on Fratton Park. The really important thing to do with all football clubs really is not losses, but cash. It's running out of cash that kills football clubs. And when we look at the cash flow statement that is published, although there was a £3 million loss, the actual amount of cash funding that was required to kind of cover the losses was approximately £1.2 million. Again, that's a very large number to kind of URI. But in football terms, that's not a huge amount of money. And overall, when I look at the entire six-year period since the sale of the club to Tornanti, the total cash loss that's been covered is approximately £5 million. And a big chunk of that happened in the COVID year, which really nobody could have foreseen or done anything about. So I think overall, I'm not unduly concerned with the amount of losses that are having to be covered by owner funding. They're of a size where you could change your operations to cover those losses without completely destabilising or wrecking the club in the way that we've seen happen to other clubs, like Derby or as Reading are currently going through. So, I'm not overly concerned about the scale of those losses, that they are sort of easily coverable by the owners, and certainly they've shown every sign of intending to do so.
Are there any areas of concern, or do the figures show for an all-round positive statement?
On the whole, I don't have any great areas of concern about these accounts on their own. I think there is an issue facing the club around general inflation and the rising costs of operations that all businesses are seeing, and certainly all of the fans and everyone has seen personally in their own kind of home affairs. And that's really starting to bite in the club, and you can see that impacting these accounts. That will have been mitigated to some extent by the increase in ticket pricing that we saw at the beginning of the current season. So hopefully that's managed to kind of alleviate some of the impact of that. But those price rises are still ongoing, and certainly inflation, although it's reducing, it's still at a level where prices are increasing and costs are increasing for all businesses. So I think it is difficult. I think the club is in a difficult position in terms of trying to make sure all of these costs are covered and to kind of reduce the losses it faces as much as possible. But beyond that, I think, I guess the main concern really is if this season ends as we're hoping it all if this season ends as we're all hoping it will do, then next season we're looking at life in the Championship, and that in there the finances are a whole different beast. Clubs are losing on average £16 million a year, and that size of loss really only gets you into bottom third. If you want to really try to compete, then most of the clubs that you're competing with in the Championship are willing to gamble with £20 million plus losses. So that's a really huge challenge that the club is going to face next season if we're fortunate enough to get promoted. So it's going to be interesting to see how they face that challenge. I don't think they just simply write increasing ticket prices would be sufficient to overcome that, not whilst keeping them affordable. So I think it's an area that we will, at the PST, will continue to talk to the club about and see how they're planning to meet that challenge and to get us to a point where we're not just battling against relegation next season, but trying to at least be stable in the middle, trying to look at the upper half of that table. But that's probably the main concern I would have about the future, and all the time that parachute payments exist and we have owners willing to gamble eye-watering amounts of money, it's going to be something that's going to be a challenge for Portsmouth Football Club.
Simon Colebrook from the Pompey Supporters Trust speaking about the club's recent reveal of the statement of the council year 2022-23. For more information on that, do head over to @PompeyTrust on X, and you've got the full statement there. And you can also go onto the Pompey Football Club website, the official website, to see in detail the full accounts of that 12-month period. Dave Burns got in touch with the email saying, "Hi, Jake, it's the kind of thing that makes me nervous, but do you realise that we didn't win any of the remaining corresponding fixtures last season? Defeats at Wickham and Bolton, plus a hatful of draws in the remaining games, gave us a final total of 70 points, having taken just 4 points from those six matches. It goes without saying we need to improve on that, as I'm sure that 87 points would leave us well short of the automatics. All tough, nervy games now, at 2 points per game, 8 points from home matches and four from away. That would give us 95, which I think is enough. What do you think?" Player Pompey says, "Dave, yeah, I certainly think that could be enough as well." Dave, thank you very much for getting in touch. Right, big thank you to everybody who tuned in to this evening's show. That is it for the Football Hour on this Thursday evening. But Pompey Live is just around the corner. Good Friday football is on the agenda for Portsmouth Football Club, and it's Wickham Wanderers who await.
Here we go.
Pompey Live.
Portsmouth made it 15 consecutive wins thanks to a 4-0 victory over Rugby Borough.
Daisy McLachlan gets on the score sheet. It's a resounding 4-0 lead now, and there's no going back for Rugby Borough.
7 games remain for the men, who are next back in action this Easter away at Wickham Wanderers. Join us for all of the unmissable action. Good Friday from 2.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM, Pompey Live.
With Aquacars.
Be sure to join myself, Connor Mosley and James Wilson live from Buckinghamshire from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to see if Pompey can make it 13 unbeaten and further strengthen their grip at the top of League One. We'll be on air right the way through till 6 o'clock with full pre-match build-up, half-time analysis and post-game reaction too. And a reminder, if you are planning to tune in online or via the ExpressFM app, you will need to switch over to 93.7 FM or iFollow Pompey at 3 to be able to listen to the commentary as per the online broadcasting restrictions. Big thank you to both Mark Coates and Andy Mitchmore for being part of tonight's show. It's been fantastic to hear from both of them. I'll be back with the next instalment of the Football Hour on Monday evening from 6 to deliver all of the fallout to whatever happens at Adams Park tomorrow and to preview a huge game next Tuesday night where Derby County are the visitors to PO4. But until next time, Pompey fans, it is good night from me. I now leave you with a brilliant pair that is Lana Hall and Victoria Ayburn, who are up next with Express Hits of the 2010s. That's coming up right after the news at 7.